It is 6:45. I'm Robert Palacios with KRWG News. A new report from Congress's independent watchdog takes a look at U.S. efforts to help deportees resume life in Central American countries known as the Northern Triangle. From KJZZ's Fronteras desk in Phoenix, Matthew Casey reports that successful reintegration is a key part of a broader goal to cut illegal immigration by improving conditions there.
The U.S. Agency for International Development has spent $27 million since 2014 to help people deported to Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. A new report from the Government Accountability Office says the way migrants are received when they get home has improved. But the report also says many reintegration programs have just started, and their overall effectiveness is still up in the air. Randy Capps is with the Migration Policy Institute, a think tank in Washington, D.C.
Reintegration is a piece of a larger puzzle, but it's an important piece. If you don't do it and do it well, then everybody who comes back is going to turn right around and head back to the U.S.
Capps says economic and safety issues in the Northern Triangle make long-term reintegration for deportees more difficult. In Phoenix, I'm Matthew Casey.
As college staff learn more about first-generation students, they are redefining what it means to welcome them and their families into higher education. The University of Texas at El Paso is one of the schools known for success in this effort. Becca McNeil with Texas Public Radio is following the experiences of students. It's part of a series called Far From Home, funded by an Education Writers Association reporting fellowship.
On a sunny Saturday in October, about 500 prospective families gathered on the campus of the University of Texas at El Paso, or UTEP, for Orange and Blue Day. They met with representatives from financial aid, enrollment, and various academic departments in a festival-like atmosphere that was spread across the campus. Many of the students will be the first in their family to go to college, and the university knows that parents are critical allies. UTEP Dean of Students Katie McCorian-Dallas said that universities should treat strong family connections as assets and make the university experience part of the family tradition.
What we know about our students is that they come to us with a tremendous amount of assets, and one of those, as you mentioned, is their family. We love to capitalize on that.
UTEP also invites parents to join their own association, which meets in groups of 10 to 15 once per month on campus with Crystal Saavedra, the association's director. When parents familiarize themselves with the campus, they build what advisors call confianza. They become valuable partners, guiding their children toward on-campus resources, like the health center or the writing lab. Saavedra said the parent association also meets with faculty and other staff members who can serve as compadrasco, a surrogate parent or advocate on campus.
All of our presenters have been very forthcoming in giving their business card, giving their work email and work phone number, and letting them know if you have any issues, please contact us directly. So I've found that the parents are more comfortable. And you can see even after, once the sessions are over, they always stick around and ask a lot of questions.
Most UTEP students are first gen and most are Hispanic. The school's outreach practices have become one of the gold standards for colleges and universities that receive first gen Hispanic students. Selective schools like Princeton University are taking note. Christina Gonzalez, Associate Dean and Director of Access and Inclusion at Princeton, says if schools want to succeed with first-gen students, they'll have to reach out to them first. For starters, Gonzalez says, institutions should reconsider the amount of jargon and redundant paperwork associated with college enrollment. For students who grew up expecting to attend college, the paperwork is an inconvenience. Gonzalez said for first-gen students, it may signify something more. It may suggest to them that they don't belong there.
If I come into a space in which, like, I am new to the place, right, I think it's something about me that's the problem, right? And I think that that's historically, you know, how students have encountered the higher ed sphere.
Proper orientation for first-gen students can prevent them from feeling discouraged when they encounter on-campus challenges. For example, Princeton invites first-gen low-income and minority students to participate in the Freshman Scholars Institute the summer before their freshman year. The students also meet mentors and faculty members. Sierra Gonzalez says Princeton's initiative helped her acclimate to campus before the culture shock in September.
Adjusting to this has been hard, but it'll happen. But also, since I was in FSI, like the RCAs and like the people who are in charge of FSI, you kind of get close to them, so you kind of like talk about them about it.
Compared to their prep school peers, Gonzalez says first-gen students like Sierra also need more encouragement to take advantage of academic resources. Many of them don't know about them because their schools didn't have resources, like writing centers or tutoring labs. Gonzalez said that if first-gen students aren't connecting to the resources they need, it's on the university to help them understand what's there and why it's there. It's part of helping students realize that they do belong. In San Antonio, I'm Becca McNeil.